Thank you, everybody, for coming. Today, I will be talking about ammonia volatilization and rice grain yield as affected by simulated rainfall amount and nitrogen fertilizer amendment. First of all, I'd like to thank my committee members for all their assistance in this, Dr. Slayton, Roberts, Norman, and Mr. DeLong, Fryer, and Parvez. The most common nitrogen source used in rice production is urea due to its ease of handling and application and its relatively low cost in per unit of nitrogen. When urea is applied to a dry soil surface and that permanent flood is established as quickly as possible, rice can recover up to 75% of that applied nitrogen. But when it is applied when situations occur such as high initial soil moisture, high relative humidity, flood not being established quickly, research has shown that 30% of that total nitrogen can be lost and the rice cannot recover it. The two main nitrogen loss mechanisms in rice is nitrogen volatilization and nitrification followed by denitrification. In rice production in Arkansas, due to the large rice fields and the slow pumping capacities of the wells, it usually takes 10 to 14 days for that flood to be established. The problem with that is that 5 to 8 days after application, ammonia volatilization can peak, so 30% or even more of that total nitrogen can be lost before anything can be done. Also, nitrification, which is the process from ammonium to nitrate, can occur in as little as 5 days, depending on soil. And denitrification is the process of nitrate to nitrogen gas after the flood is established in anaerobic conditions. So almost everything that's converted into nitrate can be potentially lost as soon as that flood is established. So when nitrogen is applied to the surface, as I said, the initial soil moisture is a big factor of ammonia volatilization and nitrogen loss. And literature has shown that 6.4 to 12.7 millimeters of rainfall is needed to shut off ammonia volatilization and incorporate the urea nitrogen. Problem is, there's not actually a lot of field research looking at that. One by Holcomb et al. Looked at it in spring wheat on a fine sandy loam soil and reported that 14.6 millimeters was needed to incorporate the urea nitrogen. So we wanted to look at how much rainfall would be needed to incorporate urea in rice production in Arkansas. So the urease inhibitor NBPT is very commonly used. So we hypothesized that with that use of the urease inhibitor, volatilization would be reduced regardless of rainfall amount. And we also believe that around 13 millimeters would be needed to incorporate the urea nitrogen to shut off volatilization. But with the increasing simulated rainfall, nitrification followed by denitrification become a bigger problem in rice grain yield will decline. So we had three field experiments at the Pine Tree Research Station on an alkaline Calhoun silt loam, and we delayed the flood for 8 to 13 days after urea nitrogen application so that as much volatilization that can occur would occur. The nitrogen sources we used was an untreated urea and the NBPT treated urea. And we had 6 rainfall amounts ranging from 0 to 25 millimeters, which was applied 5 to 14 hours after the nitrogen application, so that we had minimal runoff of the plot area and that the urea nitrogen was able to melt and, like I said, not run off of the plot area. We were able to do ammonia volatilization on 2 of the 3 trials. We used the semi-closed chamber method and remove the innermost sorber periodically in an 11-day period and analyze for the ammonium nitrogen concentration. Everything was analyzed as a split plot design, with trial being the main plot and the 2x6 factorial as the subplot. We regressed ammonia volatilization, nitrogen uptake, and grain yield across rainfall amounts and compared the nitrogen sources at an alpha of 0.1. Before I get into my results, I want to explain the environmental conditions that occurred that skewed our data a little bit. On the first and second trial, we did have rainfall that occurred within 3 days after nitrogen application and could have incorporated that urea nitrogen before all of the volatilization could have occurred. And on the third trial, we were fortunate enough to only have a small amount of rain that occurred the evening before the permanent flood was established. So going into my results for ammonia volatilization, on the x-axis we have simulated rainfall amount, and on the y-axis we have cumulative ammonia nitrogen loss in percent. Both nitrogen sources declined quadratically as simulated rainfall amounts increased, with untreated urea and MBPT-treated urea having the highest nitrogen loss when no simulated rainfall was applied. And urea lost nearly 9% of the total nitrogen, while MBPT only lost 2% of the total nitrogen. MBPT urea was incorporated into the soil, essentially shutting off ammonia volatilization when 15 millimeters of rain was applied. But unfortunately, untreated urea never incorporated into the soil, so volatilization was never shut off. The two nitrogen sources became similar when nearly 22 millimeters of rainfall was applied. For nitrogen uptake, we did have a trial by nitrogen source, so I analyzed everything by trial separately due to the environmental conditions that we had. For the next three slides will be the same. Again, on the x-axis is simulated rainfall amount, y-axis is total nitrogen uptake and kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Both nitrogen sources had a quadratic relationship, but did not really vary much across rainfall amounts, but they were different from one another at all rainfall amounts. For the second trial, they did decline. They declined again quadratically, but due to that rainfall that occurred between nitrogen application and flood establishment, we believe that is why the two nitrogen sources are not significant from one another across similar rainfall amounts. So the use of MBPT did not have a great effect on this trial. On the third trial, the two nitrogen sources were significant from one another again, but I do want to point out that this was a greater decline in nitrogen uptake as simulated rainfall amounts increased. For grain yields, I again had the nitrogen source by trial interaction, so I analyzed them separately from one another. The first trial, set up the graph real quick, again, x-axis is simulated rainfall amount, y-axis is grain yield in kilograms per hectare. This trial, both nitrogen sources had a linear relationship, with MBPT being steady across rainfall amounts while untreated urea declined as rainfall amounts increased. The two nitrogen sources became different from one another when 7.5 millimeters of rainfall or greater was applied. For the second trial, we had same linear relationship, with MBPT being steady across and urea declining as rainfall amounts increased. But the two nitrogen sources became similar to one another when 2 millimeters or greater rainfall was applied. For the third trial, the two nitrogen sources were different from one another across all simulated rainfall amounts, with NBPT treated urea being greater than untreated urea at all points. So, in summary, the use of NBPT greatly reduces the amount of rainfall needed to incorporate the urea nitrogen and shut off ammonia volatilization. But, like before, with that added moisture, it may shut off ammonia volatilization, but nitrification is accelerated, and as soon as that permanent flood is established, denitrification occurs, and more of that nitrogen can be lost than even ammonia volatilization. And if it's not completely shut off, then denitrification and ammonia volatilization become a big nitrogen loss mechanism, and a lot of nitrogen can be lost. So the best way to reduce nitrogen loss in rice production is to apply your nitrogen to a dry soil surface, use the NBPT, just even if it's just an insurance policy, because we cannot predict when it's going to rain, how much it's going to rain. So the NBPT is always a great insurance policy, and get that permanent flood established as quickly as possible, just to shut off the nitrification process and not be able to lose the nitrogen via denitrification. And also, since NBPT is a urease inhibitor and it is able to keep the urea nitrogen in the urea form, it may effectively be a nitrification inhibitor as well, just because it's not allowing the urea hydrolysis to occur and nitrification to occur. And the biggest point that we found is NBPT urea greatly reduces the amount of nitrogen. The typical rainfall amounts in Arkansas around the application of urea can be around the 15 or the 12 to 16 millimeters of rainfall, so use of NBPT is great. I'd like to thank my co-authors and everyone that helped me do my research staff in Fayetteville and at Pine Tree, and of course my peer graduate students for helping me make it rain. Thank you. Well, in Arkansas, it is primarily done as a split plot as well, but a lot of people are going to the single pre-flood application, and same as in Africa, the first application, I think you said Africa, right? Let's make sure. The first application is applied before the flood is established, and the split is applied mid-season into the flood. That initial pre-flood application needs to be applied to the dry soil surface. By the time the split application is established, the root systems of the rice plants are massive and are at the soil surface. So within 4 days after nitrogen application, the rice is able to pretty much take all that nitrogen out of the flood water and use it. So it's not lost. So there's no need to drain that part.
Thank you.